checkbooks. The writer Vera Chase has had 6 books published. They include poetry and prose, both short stories and a novel with the intriguing title Passion for Peaches. Vera hails from a Prague literary family and says that she identifies closely with her home city, although she has travelled widely and lived for some time in London. Her grandfather was one of the many journalists thrown out of Czechoslovak radio after the Soviet invasion of 1968, and the family was deeply mistrusted by the communist regime. Refusing to succumb to stereotype and convention, Vera Chase continues a family tradition. She is a writer with a very strong individual identity, and although many critics have tried to define her work, she continues to defy typical literary categories. To talk about her work, we met at her flat just round the corner from the radio in Prague's Vinohrady district, and she began with a poem in English.
A skating accident. As soon as you were done in Alaska, an engagement week in Finland. Exquisite manners, summer thus spent with me, and winter yet elsewhere, near dark lakes of frozen Eskimo size. Vigorous skating till very late hours, vigorous skating day after day, day. Together endlessly kissing and freezing, freezing and kissing, vigorous skating. Skating so long my... was spinning, never noticed you falling, across the ice your head rolling, its red ribbons, the white richly decorating, to the point of random melting. Curious manners, in winter, thus leaving me.
That was a poem from your collection, Tělo kresba, or body painting. You write your poems in both Czech and English, and you translate them yourself, don't you?
Yes, that's what I do. Sometimes I write it first in English, and sometimes I write it first in Czech. It really depends which language prevails at the moment in my life.
And do you translate them, or do you rewrite them in the other language?
No, I translate them. I translate it, and then I try to get the best feeling, so I rewrite everything that I write. Actually, I rewrite and rewrite. It's the way I work. It doesn't have to have the same amount of lines, but it usually is pretty close. But the feeling, the message, the atmosphere should be the same.
And how did you come to be so confident in English, to be able to write so well?
But I'm not so awfully confident. I like to check everything, even English with other people. I always have a lot of notes, and then I come to a person and I ask, does this word have this feeling, or would you ever put it together with something else? And that way I try to edit it.
And so you're not one of those writers who's very private and possessive of their work. You like to share it and to share the creative process to some extent with other people and to exchange creative ideas even.
When my part is finished, then I open the door to an editor, and I have to be totally open and believe in this person. And then when this process is finished, I again close the door. So that's it. Don't touch it. I don't like when people take out lines out of your poems. It happened a couple of weeks ago. There was this article about poetry, and then they just cut a piece of a poem, and I thought, it's this is going to sound funny, but it's like cutting out the eye of a Mona Lisa and saying, this is an interesting eye.
And the poem that you just read is called A Skating Accident. Mm. The very title gives us a sense of danger. What is this poem about?
Well, it's about two people who really like winter. And it's something that holds them together and keeps them enamored.
And the accident?
Well, it's just an accident, you know. When you skate so vigorously, it can happen that you sort of... your blade goes over the neck of your beloved.
You're one of those writers that have felt a need to write all your life, haven't you? You've been writing since your childhood, haven't you?
Yes, I wanted to be a writer because I wanted to leave a footprint, and I didn't know... I also wanted to be an astronaut, but somebody told me that astronauts can't have fillings in their teeth. And I have had them since my childhood. And I knew that I would have to dedicate everything. Just you have to dedicate all your life to what you want to do. So I dedicated all my life to writing because I had those feelings. Otherwise, I would have been an astronaut.
And you've always written both poetry and prose. Is your prose writing in some way inherently different from your poetry? Or do you find that the creative process is much the same?
No, it's totally different. You are sometimes in a phase where I can only write poetry, which has been the case now. And I can't even imagine, I can't even begin to imagine how it is to write something in prose. And it seems to me so remote. I also translate and interpret. And it's when you interpret, you think, how the hell people translate? It's like so much sitting down and everything. And then when you go to the other phase, you're thinking, I will never be able to stand in front of people and interpret.
And you've had a lot of your stories published. Maybe we could hear you read one of your stories, if you'd like to choose something to read.
It's called My Friend, the Universe, and a Strange Hole. My friend had plenty of drinks and plenty of grass that night. He left the bar at an early morning hour. Walking by foot, in no hurry to get home, he took the long way through a park overlooking Prague to get himself a glimpse of the city's night charms. Halfway, while walking among the trees, a building halted him, a modest-sized ruin. It halted his walking as much as his thinking, attentive contemplating about livers, kidneys, bladders, as well as other professional matters. So he wandered in, entering through the window, both because he could and perhaps even should. He entered and stopped right there, ankle-deep in garbage. He was looking at walls covered with graffiti, and also the hole that was gaping in the midst of it, just like that, in the center of the universe. Unignorable. It stared in as weird a way as he did. He had been standing there for quite a while when the poodle ran inside. It sniffed his trouser leg for a bit, then tried to hump his calf, well, until his master walked in. He stepped in the doorway, yelled at the dog to stop, and then stared at my dear friend, gazing at the hole that gaped out from the midst of the damaged wall. He stared and stared and stared, but could not think of anything. For one very long moment, they all stood there, thinking hard about weird things and the mysteries of the universe in general, till they finally realized that this would go nowhere and peacefully parted at that early morning hour in the park that overlooks the city of Prague.
Your prose writing, the narratives are kind of wonderfully hard to place, sort of between realism and surrealism. Is this just the natural idiom that comes to you?
Yes, I think this is actually a real problem, especially in this country, because we love to label people. So, you know, for 20 years I have been a young beginning writer. When I worked on One Eye Open, which was this magazine, but I was only an editor there, I was a feminist. But I think that feminists would never call me a feminist. So for some people I write science fiction. And these days, because we are in this really shallow phase of chick existence and selling everything that's tabloid, and because of this, now suddenly everybody is looking at my stuff because there are some erotic moments. So suddenly I am maybe even porn writer. You know, so it's there is always a phase, and people will come to you and label you science fiction writer. No, now you're a feminist. Now you are actually an erotic writer. But why do we have to always label things?
Let's move on to another of your poems.
Mm-hmm. When I was in India,
and you were in India on a scholarship, weren't you?
Yes,
you're on a grant.
It was a grant given to me by UNESCO, and you would go there for 3 months to stay at this really beautiful resort. It was like a museum grounds, and you would stay there, and you would meet other artists that traveled through there. You know, India is so full of people, and these little grounds where we lived, the studios, it was totally deserted. It was just like two or three people. And it was very rare that some more people would arrive. And one day this girl came to me and she said, "It's so funny, we just live here, just the two of us, and it's totally deserted, we just create and are here totally alone." And I said, "Maybe you didn't notice, but in this garden there are like 12 men living here, totally hidden, you wouldn't notice them really, and servicing us. So when we went to eat, they would go and clean our studios, but we would never see them. At night the guard would walk around through this beautiful garden. An afternoon on a meadow, Larks, blackbirds, sparrows, as well as tits, have gathered on the meadow. A chain of wings, lifting their feet, left, right, left, synchronically opening their beaks. Ooh, oh, ooh. Even the grass sways in the rhythm of love, and the trees sigh, leaves all loosen. When the two of us meet on a meadow, and there with love, carefully, the way you would pour honey into milk, get down, there and back, inhale, exhale, to it.
Did you find literary inspiration in India as well?
I found inspiration for my life there. It's color, love for love, and the pace, which is so different that you don't have to think about why you exist, because you slow down enough to enjoy your life.
And you say that you've been a young Czech writer for the last 20 years. For the next 20 years, do you see yourself continuing to be a young Czech writer?
No, I think that I will be discarded. I think that I'm much more appreciated abroad than in this country. So I think that what I will be reading for the next 20 years is that how I have disappointed everybody.
But clearly you have no intention of stopping writing.
I would like to try a couple more pieces, but, you know, the day I find that I write badly, I would like to stop.
And our listeners are all over the world. Is there any way that they can get hold of publications of your prose or poetry?
There are two bilingual books. One is called Iberis, Bobule, and the other one that you mentioned is Tělo kresba, Body Painting. Then there are four books of prose, which are in Czech, and most of them, there are still some copies available. And I think you could contact one of the internet bookstores, for example, Kosmas, which would be probably www.kosmas.cz.
That would be K-O-S-M-A-S. Viera Chase, thank you very much indeed for taking time to talk to us and to read from some of your work. And if you didn't manage to pick up the titles of Viera's various publications, you can find them on our website. That's at www.radio.cz. So, Viera, I hope we'll have the opportunity to invite you again onto the programme. Best of luck.
Thank you, and have a good day.